John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Thursday, August 30th, 2012. Palestinian killed in Tel Aviv by Israeli police, and Israeli Navy caught on tape harassing Palestinian fishermen in Gaza. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. On Thursday at dawn, Israeli soldiers invaded several Palestinian communities in the occupied West Bank, including southwestern Hebron, areas west of Nablus, Azzoun town, and villages near Jenin and Tubas. The soldiers broke into several homes, kidnapping a total of 13 residents, 7 of which are children under the age of 17. The invasion started around 2 after midnight, and the army searched dozens of homes, causing damage to the property. An Israeli policeman shot and killed a 33-year-old Palestinian man on Wednesday night in Tel Aviv. The policeman claimed he tried to apprehend two suspicious persons, but one of them pulled the knife and tried to attack him, an issue that forced him to open fire. The off-duty policeman claimed that the Palestinian victim was attempting to steal a car. In other news, the Jerusalem municipality delivered notices for the demolition of 5 homes in El Bustan neighborhood in Silwan on Thursday. The homes in question were built more than 20 years ago. However, the Jerusalem municipality claims these homes were built without construction permits. Palestinian officials report that the notices did not mention the real name of El Bustan neighborhood, referring to it instead as the King neighborhood. It is thought that the remaining of the neighborhood is part of Israel's larger plan to demolish all the homes in the area and take over the neighborhood for continued growth of Israeli settlements. Several homes have already been demolished and the land taken over by Israeli settlers. In related news, several Arab villages in the Negev region were also visited by Israeli soldiers on Wednesday. Soldiers invaded and demolished 4 homes in what Israel describes as, quote, unrecognized villages, unquote. The demolition included the home of a resident of the Bir Hadaj village, Jum'a Abu Hadira, a 110-year-old man, and not surprisingly, the oldest man in the area. The exact number of unrecognized villages to be destroyed in the Negev is unclear, but 30,000 is a commonly cited estimate for the anticipated number of displaced persons by the end of Israel's development project. Israeli President Shimon Peres told U.S. officials in 2005 that the development of the Negev would mean displacement of some 65,000 Bedouins living in unrecognized villages. Israeli soldiers demolished another Palestinian home in Al-Obaidiyah town in the Bethlehem district on Wednesday. Local sources report that several military jeeps, accompanied by a military bulldozer, invaded the town and demolished the home belonging to resident Abdelmajid Abuzmeit. Last week, Abuzmeit received an order issued by the Israeli military informing him that his home will be demolished as it is close to the bypass road used by Israeli settlers in Area C. A Palestinian cameraman from the Gaza Strip videotaped an attack carried out on Palestinian fishing boats by the Israeli Navy on Wednesday. The video shows the Israeli Navy boats encircling Palestinian boats and even blocking their way as they attempted to sail back to the shore. The video was captured by Mohammed al-Mashharawi of the Media Town News Agency in Gaza. The agency is documenting the ongoing Israeli assaults against Palestinian fishermen in the coastal region. Earlier this week, two Palestinian fishermen were arrested and a Palestinian fishing boat heavily damaged in two separate incidents in the northern part of the Gaza Strip. That's all for today. This was the Thursday, August 30th roundup of news from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hassan Kassis and me, George Rishmawi.
Afghanistan, 29th of August. Three Australian soldiers were killed when an Afghan government soldier suddenly opened fire on them at a base in southern Oruzgan province. Afghanistan, 29th of August. Two Australian soldiers were killed in a helicopter crash in Helmand province. Afghanistan, 28th of August. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unreported nationality from an insurgent attack in an undisclosed location in eastern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, 29th of August. U.S. warplanes bombed the village, killing at least 12 people and wounding 8. The U.S.-led NATO forces claim to have been targeting insurgents, but the report sounds like that's not all they killed, if indeed they got any insurgents. Bombing villages in a losing war, just like Vietnam. Afghanistan, 29th of August. A Chinook helicopter, one of those giant twin-rotor flying trucks belonging to the Nevada National Guard, was destroyed in a landing accident somewhere in Afghanistan. The crew got lucky. No Purple Hearts this time. Everybody got out okay. Afghanistan, 29th of August. Five Afghan Army soldiers were killed by a roadside bomb followed up by a suicide bomber on foot. When soldiers dismounted, that is, got out of their vehicles to check for damage from the smaller roadside bomb, the suicide bomber charged at them and detonated his explosives. Pakistan, 29th of August. Heavily armed Taliban fighters assaulted a checkpost at Farhang Baba area, killing at least 9 Pakistani government soldiers at the cost of losing 10 of their own men. Baghdad, Iraq, 29th of August. Brigadier General Nadim Taya, the head of police emergency responders in West Baghdad, was shot and killed after insurgents ambushed his car in the street. Bakuba, Iraq. A local district chief, Mukhtar, was shot and killed as he left his house. Kukuk, Iraq, 29th of August. Multiple bombings killed 4 police officers and 6 other members of the security forces. Mr. Barack Obama, the Afghan war goes on and on with no end in sight, one of the longest wars the U.S. has ever fought. The Iraq war was a failure, Afghanistan is another one. Nobody has ever conquered Afghanistan. You can't succeed where everyone from Alexander the Great to the Soviet Union failed. Now is the time to pull the plug, bring all the troops home today.
Soldiers for the army, and they never tell you nothing about the girls in the garrison towns, like how they will mistreat you and how old friends will see you when you trade your name for a number and a uniform of brown. When you pick up the gun, when you say goodbye to mama and away from home you run. That sergeant shouted that it's just to drive you crazy. I was luckier than many though, for I got released in time. Now they tell me I'm a free man, but sometimes I still doubt it. For the more I think about it, freedom's just a state of mind that they keep with the gun. Thank you for the gift of your son. The Lord and bless the boy. A politician tells the people, you gotta have an army. And the soldier tells the writer, the pen is mightier than the sword. But sticks and stones can break my bones, and words will never harm me. Said the poet and the writer to the soldier with his words, I will be done. You won't change the story. Strengthen their hearts and fear in their eyes. Old soldiers never die, they only fade away. But the young ones do not die, no, they are cut down instead. And someone pulled the trigger, gave the order, held the sword. And someone wrote the advert in the paper that they read, I will be done. But you won't get your hands on my son. You can wait till kingdom come.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Campaign of punitive strikes against a grand jury investigating anarchists and occupiers on the West Coast continues. You may remember the Wednesday, 25th of July FBI raids against activists in Portland, Olympia, and Seattle. In those raids, search warrants listed anarchist literature as the subject of a search warrant stolen by cops as they smashed people's homes. In addition to the raids, a grand jury began a fishing expedition into West Coast anarchists and occupiers. Now the shoe is on the other foot. Not one person receiving a grand jury subpoena has agreed to cooperate, and a storm of anarchist property destruction attacks was set off by the raids. On the 22nd of August, in San Francisco's Mission District, anarchists smashed every yuppie or gentrified thing they could find. Afterwards, they released this communique. In the early morning of August the 22nd, in San Francisco's Mission District, we joyfully attacked all presence of gentrification and yuppie windows we could find. These malicious acts were done in solidarity with those in the Pacific Northwest resisting grand juries. New and old condos, cafes, BMWs, Porsches, Mercedes, antique stores, fine restaurants, modern furniture stores, among many others, had their windows permanently etched with the anarchy symbol, die, die yuppie scum, fuck off yuppies, yuppies out, and a variety of other obscenities. To our companions currently facing or who do face grand juries in the future, say nothing. You have waves of invisibles behind you, ready to coalesce from the woodwork and attack at the ready. The people and businesses we attacked with smiles and laughs have for decades and still continue to actively displace and destroy the generations of families in the Mission while continuing the project of capital by commodifying and compartmentalizing all modes of existence and ways of being. This project of capital is enforced and backed up in every regard with a constant harassment, beatings, and murders of the San Francisco Police Department. In this regard, we send our fiercest love to those who recently rendered unusable San Francisco Police Department and Oakland Police Department vehicles. We see your actions, we are inspired, and continue the attack. It's so easy. We also send our revolutionary fire to the Tinley Park 5, the Cleveland 4, C.C. McDonald, Eric McDavid, Marie Mason, and all others who attack the existent. That's the end of the communique. The folks named in the end are activist prisoners of war, either facing extreme charges or serving long prison terms for fighting back. Hey, FBI and grand juries, if you don't like the heat anarchists are bringing down on you and your masters, now's the time to get out of the kitchen. Cancel all the grand jury subpoenas, release our prisoners, and apologize on your knees to the raids. On the 28th of August, there was yet another attack on a corporate target in solidarity with anarchists and Occupy activists refusing to comply with grand jury subpoenas in the Pacific Northwest. Here is a communique from the fighters in San Francisco who targeted Wells Fargo Bank, notorious for their support of private prisons. Quote, in this morning's early hours, a Wells Fargo Bank branch had two of its doors and all four of its ATMs glued shut. This small act of sabotage was in solidarity with those resisting, by whatever means, the grand jury in Seattle. We would also like to express our complicity with Mario and Felicity in Mexico and with CC in Minnesota. For the silent ones, prisoners to the streets! This ends the August 28th communique from San Francisco's brave anarchist warriors fighting back against the FBI and grand juries. 26th of August, Wisconsin GOP Governor Scott Walker got an unpleasant surprise at a pre-GOP convention appearance at a Tampa theater. As he appeared on stage in front of a giant U.S. flag, protesters suddenly shouted him down and dropped a banner reading "Working Families" from the balcony before security guards and right-wingers could counterattack. Protesters were escorted out. They were harassed and interrogated by heavily armored police dressed like Imperial stormtroopers from Star Wars. A still-running video camera caught all of this audio.
Can you let go of me yet? It was a really boring event. I'm not really interested in staying any longer. Am I being detained?
All of the protesters had to deal with the humiliation of having these heavily armored stormtroopers that looked like turtles demanding personal information and identity documents.
UC State, New York?
Yeah.
What's your date of birth?
November 20th.
Right up. Where you'll get wet. Hello, very good. H-A-Y-L-E. Back there, right? Where's your ID at?
It's garbage like this is why I never carry identification documents to any kind of protest or direct action.
Just don't agree with everything you're talking about, so decide to disrupt.
ID stops were a form of personal humiliation widely used by police to control people. As the Republican National Convention has built up, police have been following protesters dressed in heavy armor that looks like something a turtle would wear, painted desert camouflage like something out of the Iraq War. It has been very clear that at this Republican National Convention, like at the previous three Republican National Conventions, the police have every intention of defying the Constitution and trampling all over First Amendment rights. Interestingly, the entire Republican National Convention and the entire area surrounding it are inside a steel cage similar to the cage that was put around a convention center and surrounding neighborhoods during a NATO summit here in D.C. during 2010. Clearly, this is a militarized convention with no respect for the Constitution, and these steel cages are a symbol of the kind of government we can expect if Mitt Romney gets into the White House. Here's a report on one of the anarchist protests at the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida.
After the Westboro Church protest fizzled, the anarchists took over. A group of several dozen people, led by black-clad people with bandanas hiding their faces, left the official viewing area for a march through downtown. They faced row upon row of riot police adorned with plastic face shields, batons, and body armor.
Unarmed civilians! We are unarmed civilians! We are unarmed civilians! We are.
The police didn't respond to their taunts. They stood there stoically, and the ones on bicycles moved quickly to get ahead of the mass of people, lining up their bicycles wheel to wheel to form a mobile barricade. The protesters moved through the heart of downtown and eventually ended up under an expressway overpass, drinking in the welcome shade. They were picked up there by buses and brought to Ybor City for the next scheduled parade, this one called the March Against Voter Suppression.
We
We are standing up against the attempts to suppress black folks' votes all around the country.
Rashard Robinson of Color of Change, a voter advocacy group, worked up the crowd.
Because every single day we hear the voices of our members. We hear the voices of mothers who want a voice in this democracy as they hear how the criminal justice system or economic justice system is treating their young people. When their voices are heard just as loudly as politicians and corporations, that's when our democracy begins to work for everyone.
Shift it off. They bail out all the banks, raise the stakes for corporate cronies. We have to choose between bankruptcy and our heart exploding. It thickens up in this piece. We see the plot unfolding, cooped up in a pseudo-free market just as it starts imploding.
Yo. And then the protest began as police closed down 7th Avenue, Ybor City's main drag. After the parade, April Bullock of Tampa wiped the sweat from her brow and gave her reason for marching.
I definitely do not support the Republican Party. All the little racial remarks, the voter suppression, the constant changing of the laws in Florida to make voting more difficult, it goes back to Jim Crow laws.
She says protests like this send a powerful message.
Powerful in letting people know that even though the RNC is being held here in Tampa, even though it's being held here in Florida, a very red state, there are just as many people here who do not uphold, believe, or support the Republican agenda.
All the talk here about the need for well-paying jobs isn't an abstract concept for Bullock. She's got a master's in social work and says in the 4 years she's lived in Florida, she's struggled to find decent work.
I've gotten jobs that pay $9.50 for a master's degree. So my degree has been pimped and used out here.
And with that, Bullock disappeared into the sea of placards and marchers. I'm Steve Newborn in downtown Tampa.
As Hurricane Isaac bypassed Tampa to pound on Louisiana, the Republican Party got an ugly reminder of George W. Bush's disastrous response to Hurricane Katrina 7 years ago. Since the GOP can't win elections by fair means after things like Katrina, the Iraq War, and gutting social programs, they have favored voter suppression tactics for years. One focus of the protests against the Republican National Convention has been voter suppression, especially the voter ID laws being promoted in so many Republican-dominated states. These laws basically mean that people can vote Republican and never have to vote again, as disqualifying voters without ID disproportionately disqualifies people who never vote for the GOP. Here's what some of the speakers at the protest had to say about voter suppression by the GOP.
It has always been the agenda of the so-called 1% and the elite to make sure that black people and poor people could not have a say-so about what goes on in this country. The reason why I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the so-called suppression stats is because stats like the fact that in this country, one black person is killed by law enforcement, security guards, or some kind of vigilante like George Zimmerman down in Sanford County gets my attention more than anything else. That's one every 36 hours. One black person every day and a half is killed. That's voter suppression. I live in a county, that Hillsborough County, that is not number one at providing affordable housing for its taxpaying citizens. Hillsborough County is not number one at providing a decent education for the children of taxpaying citizens. Hillsborough County is not number one at providing gainful employment for its taxpaying citizens. Hillsborough County is the number one county in the entire world at adjudicating juveniles as adults in the criminal justice system. Did you hear what I said? Hillsborough County, right here where you live, where you work, where you send your children to school, is number one at adjudicating our children as adults in the juvenile court system, which means that if they get a felony on their record, they won't be able to vote. That's voter suppression.
Get to the world.
Come on. We still gotta wake up.
In 2011, there are 34 Republican stronghold states that passed voter ID laws. These are laws that require people to get government-issued ID, such as driver's licenses, before they can register to vote. And this is terrible because there are more than 21 million Americans who don't have government-issued ID, people who are potential voters. And if you're wondering why the GOP would pass something like that to stop people from voting, it's because the majority of those people are African-American and Latino. And they're passing these laws saying that they're trying to stop non-citizens from voting, undocumented people from voting, but we know that's a lie. In addition to fines and imprisonment, undocumented people risk deportation if they were to try to register to vote. We know that that's not happening.
More than 30 states have debated changes to the voting law. 12 have added photo ID or stronger restrictions. 5 went after early voting laws. 3 made it harder for felons to vote. And 2 went after third-party organizations that were registering voters. 15% of Americans that make less than $35,000 a year do not have a photo ID. What happened to a fair system?
They passed what they call voter ID laws. Laws that have come in place when there's never been a prosecutable case of voter fraud. These laws have been put in place in states around the country, which could disenfranchise nearly 5 million Americans, overwhelmingly Black and Latino Americans. Color of Change and our allies have stood up against this. And so far, we've gotten nearly 40 corporations to drop from the American Legislative Exchange Council, telling Pepsi, telling Coke, telling Walmart that you can't come Black for Black people's money by day and try to take away our vote by night.
We see what happened in 2004, 2008. It's a continuation of the same old tired tactics by the Republican Party to suppress people's votes because that's the only way they can win an election.
We need an independent political party in this country. We need to take money out of elections, and we need to take our country back and build a country that's based on human need and not corporate greed.
Elections are not won by a majority of the people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections quite candidly goes up as the voting populace goes down. The good news is that the efforts to stop third-party voter registration have been enjoined by the court. What that means is that you have until October 6th, operating under the old rules, to go ahead and register as many voters as it's humanly possible for you to do.
We are Americans who believe that you do not rob the poor to pay the rich. We are the 99%. We want equal protection under the law, equal opportunity, equal access, fair share, deeply seated compassion for the least of these. We are the Americans who believe that America is a big tent, not a pup tent. It is red and yellow and black and brown and white. It is not about black and white. It is about wrong and right. We are here today because we're on the right side of history. And we are saying to the Republican Convention and to Mitt Romney, there is more to being an American than wrapping yourself in the flag and singing God Bless America. We are the 99%.
On Wednesday, the 29th of August, protesters against the Republican National Convention staged a night march beginning at about 9:30 p.m., setting blockades in the street and taunting the heavily armored cops with donuts hung from fishing poles like Occupy DC used to do. Some of them lay in the streets while others help to block traffic and hold the area. The protest, organized by Occupy activists, was called Stepping on the Middle Class, and the objective was to literally lie down in the streets in front of RNC delegates, forcing them to literally step on the middle class in front of the cameras of the whole world. On Wednesday, the 29th of August, at the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida, Code Pink put some serious points on the board, attempting to put Condoleezza Rice under citizen's arrest, then disrupting Paul Ryan's speech at the RNC. Here's what things sounded like as Code Pink activists shouted down Condoleezza Rice several separate times.
You cannot be compassionate and kill people in the war of choice, the war of Iraq. I'm an Army colonel. I was a former U.S. diplomat. I know I will be leaving, but I want to say my piece that these wars of choice that both the Democrats and the Republicans have had are terrible for our own national security.
You know, one wonderful thing about democracy is people do get to say their piece.
Several minutes later,
Condoleezza Rice, the blood of Iraqi children is on your hands! The blood of Iraqi children is on your hands! 9/11 was an excuse to go to war, and you know that. You should be held accountable in The Hague, in the Court of Justice. My generation soldiers are dying. 18 veterans a day are committing suicide from that war. There's post-traumatic stress disorder. True patriotism does not look like illegal bombing and war and lying our way into a war that has killed hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians. You know this. You're better than this. America is better than this. I'll go with you.
Please leave.
Later in the program for folks to tweet some questions.
The majority of America wants justice and accountability. The majority of America wants justice and accountability. There is a war criminal speaking here, and you should be held accountable. What about... Condoleezza Rice is a war criminal! Condoleezza Rice is a war criminal! She should be held accountable! She is a war criminal! And we will push for accountability.
That same night, Code Pink activists displayed a vagina banner inside Vice Presidential candidate Paul Ryan's keynote speech at the Republican National Convention, setting off quite a ruckus as some right-winger tried to cover it with a Maryland state flag while she spoke out about a woman's right to choose. Here's what Anne Wright and other members of Code Pink said in the official Code Pink video about the disruption of Paul Ryan's speech.
Well, my name is Anne Wright. I was in the U.S. military for 29 years. I retired as a colonel. I was a U.S. diplomat for 16 years and deputy chief of mission or deputy ambassador in four different U.S. embassies around the world. Found myself in the Republican National Convention when the vice presidential nominee, Paul Ryan, was giving his acceptance speech, is that I'm very concerned about the platform of the Republican Party. Their continued war platforms, their total acceptance of needing to spend incredible amounts of money in the defense budget. And I was there to say that we need health care over warfare, and specifically talking about the need for women to have a choice in their lives about reproductive rights. So I was there with Laura Mills, and we let Mr. Ryan know what we felt about
it. A recent college graduate, and I majored in gender women's studies, and I went in to Paul Ryan's speech because he's consistently poor on women's issues. He wants to defund Planned Parenthood. He doesn't believe in abortion in cases of, even in cases of rape or incest. I recognize that not everyone can stand up and yell in the middle of Paul Ryan's speech, but I guess I wanted to show people that they can always stand up for themselves. You could learn more about CodePink at codepink.org. You can get involved with your local chapter.
You can also join Planned Parenthood and support the actions that they have that are so important to make sure that women and men realize that they provide probably the greatest amount of family planning information to women and men and kids in our whole country.